Our series, Soft Answers to Tough Questions. We give them soft answers because we're loving our enemies, and a wrathful enemy can be quieted by a soft answer. We're finishing our series with tough questions about Christianity itself. One of the things that we often hear is a rather bold statement, a challenge to the Christian life. People who are truly sincere in their religion will be accepted by God. Donna Likens was telling us that she got saved as a teenager. Is that right, guys? As a teenager with at the Billy Graham Crusade. And I appreciate everything that Billy Graham had accomplished. We had the Oars with us, Bob and what was Mrs. Orr? Ivy Orr. They got saved at the Billy Graham Crusade and, you know, truly saved. But Billy Graham, I don't know whether it's been a change in recent times or what, but he has been quoted as actually saying this, that he's absolutely sure that people who really think they're loving God and are sincere in their religion, that surely God will accept them all. And this isn't even a hard question if you know the Bible. So their challenge is there can't be just one true religion. Well, actually, there can and is. Analyzing this proposition, it assumes that all religions are alike. It assumes that all religions evolved. That is, man just came up with them. And that's the point number three. It assumes that all religions came from man. They evolved out of a fear, evolved out of a concern, out of a superstition. But at their source, they all came from man. A college invited a Christian pastor, a Jewish rabbi, and a Muslim imam to discuss differences among religions. Each religious leader admitted that there were irreconcilable differences in the face of this idea that all religions are alike. One example that they pointed out was the person of Jesus Christ. And they agreed on this statement. If Christians are right about Jesus being God, then Muslims and Jews fail in a serious way to love God as God really is. If he really is God, they say he's not. So they fail to love God as God really is. But if Muslims and Jews are right that Jesus is not God, but rather merely a teacher or a prophet, then Christians fail in a serious way to love God as God really is. It comes down to this, that if you know what you're talking about, the different religions are very different. They're not all alike. Several of the students did not like that conclusion. It's like, don't confuse me with facts. I have my opinion. They falsely assumed that all religions are basically alike, and so they should cooperate with each other. Otherwise, world peace would be constantly disturbed because of religious differences. But this is an argument based on ignorance, assuming things about religions that just are not true. So analyzing the proposition, we see that this is why they think what they think. Then they say all major religions are essentially the same. Even though there are big differences, they are essentially, at the essence, the same. Joe Klein on the Time magazine blog of March 7, 2007, wrote that anyone who thinks there are inferior religions is a right-wing extremist. Really? Common sense tells us that the Jim Jones religion, that told its people to commit suicide is an inferior religion. That religions that practice child sacrifice, they're actually, in fact, an inferior religion. This is not a good thing. The actual fact is, as those panelists mentioned in their conclusion, there are irreconcilable differences if you know what these religions really teach. For instance, Buddhism is at heart atheistic. It doesn't believe in a god. Hinduism is at heart materialistic, that the all, the Brahman, is the all. It's all the atoms and the stars and the trees and the rocks. It's all. That's materialism, that all that is God. Christianity and others hold to a personal God who will actually hold people accountable for their beliefs and their practices. The internal inconsistency is the belief that doctrine does not matter. That in itself, see, that's what they're saying. Yes, but your difference in doctrine doesn't matter. Hold on a minute. That's your doctrine, you see. Your doctrine says my doctrine doesn't matter. But what you're saying is your doctrine does. That you say my doctrine doesn't matter, that doctrine is yours, and you say that matters. That's a specific view about God. That's a specific view about the Bible. That's your doctrinal view, and it differs from the biblical view. So you're just standing there saying, I'm right and you're wrong. But that's what they're condemning us for, you see. A third statement. Religious belief is too culturally and historically conditioned to be some kind of truth. Again, this is the idea of an evolved religion, that it just came about by the way people are. The postmodern view, postmodernism says there is no absolute truth. It's just what people tell you to believe, so they're trying to control you. They say this, all moral and spiritual claims are the product of our particular historical and cultural moment. Therefore, no one should claim they know the truth, since no one can judge whether one assertion about spiritual and moral reality is truer than another. You're talking about things we can't know, they say. Therefore, to claim that you have the truth, that's just arrogance. They're saying that comparing religion is like asking people from all over the world what homeland is best. And you know they're going to say, well, my homeland is best. Their decision will always be relative to their experience and not based on some absolute fact. However, this claim that all religious thought is relative, again, when you stop to think about it, that claim that all religious thought is relative is a religious thought. And they're stating it absolutely. They're saying, here is an absolute truth. All your religious thought is relative. But wait a minute. You claim relativism for every form of thought except your own? That sounds pretty arrogant. If cultural and historical conditioning make beliefs true only regionally and false absolutely, then this belief, your belief that all religions are relative, is also only regionally true and not absolutely true. Don't try to apply it to me. This is one of those strange things. This argument was formulated, preached, and rejected clear back in 604 to 517 BC when Lao Tzu preached Taoism in China. He came to rise claiming all teaching is false. So listen to me. But why? If all teaching is false, you see. Others recognize that if he was right, then his teaching must also be false. So if I say all statements are false, then you must believe that that statement is also false, which would mean that some statements are true. So you've worked yourself into a corner there, see. These are not rational thoughts. These are just emotional thoughts. And then the fourth statement, it is arrogant, they tell me, to insist your religion is right and then to convert others to it. They're happy in what they're doing. Leave them alone. This argument assumes that no religion really is right. I was listening to Brother Jeb on the radio listening to his sermons. And he was telling the story when he was out in Oregon and he was taking a stand against cooperating with false religions, and his church was telling him he was supposed to do that. He was explaining this to his brother, and his brother was getting upset with him, said, "I condemn you for your narrow-mindedness." You have to remember that their dad was a philosophy major, and nothing was really bad. Everything was morally relative. So Jake was chastising him and saying, "You're just being narrow-minded." And Jeb said to him, "You only say that because you don't believe that spiritual matters have a reality, that they're actually true. If we're all going to deal with my favorite superstition or your favorite superstition, then we're just going to compare it and laugh about it. None of it's going to be really true. But if we believe it's really true, then we have to take a stand that we can't compromise it with something else." You see, if it's real, and he was using the example that imagine that there's somebody who's adulterating children's milk for the school with arsenic. And we could even suppose that in his sick, twisted thinking, that he felt that was a health product, that given in small amounts like that, that it would be healthy for people. So how should we respond to this? Well, he has his way. You know, he's sincere. He means well by it. He's thinking of the health of the children. Or are we going to say, get this crazy person away from the milk of the children? Because this stuff has a reality. This is real, you see. Is it arrogance to insist that 2 plus 2 in base 10 arithmetic equals 4? Is that arrogance? 2 plus 2 equals 4. How dare you, you know? Can't I be respected if I feel it should be 9? Wouldn't it be more humble to claim that it's only 3? This isn't about feeling. It's about 2 apples and 2 apples making 4 apples. What if we acted like these people are suggesting about religion, about mathematics like that? What would happen to our computers? What would happen to our aircraft? Our spacecraft would never find whatever they were looking for. Everybody's allowed to decide the results of mathematics by how they feel. You see, when things have a reality to them, then there are limits. Christianity is different from all other religions for the very reason that it did not evolve from men's thoughts. It was revealed by God. And it was the only religion that has been given like this. Again, the statement itself is a religious doctrine. It is arrogant to insist your religion is right and convert others to it. What are you trying to say? I want you to believe like I believe. That's what they're trying to say. So you want me to adopt your religious view, Because in your arrogance, you think you're right and I'm wrong. It's self-condemning. It falls under its own curse. It seeks to convert us to its own version of truth. The skeptic's faith is that his own belief is superior to all others. Those religions must bow to his faith. This is pretty arrogant, in fact. So let us take the time to analyze the Christian faith and see how we should be thinking about it. Point A, Christianity was not devised by man. B, Christianity was given by a compassionate God, not a vengeful God seeking to cause trouble on earth. C, Christianity works to the benefit of all men. And D, Christianity is the most tolerant of religions. It's just an irritation to me to see these bumper stickers that have the signs, the symbols of all the different religions, and it is saying, tolerate each other. Well, the cross in there for the T for tolerate, we're the most tolerant. We're not out killing everybody else. It's Hinduism and Islam that routinely murder those who disagree with them. Why don't Christians do that? Because Christians want to interact with, become friends with, and influence others to Christ. We're trying to win them, not kill them. Point E, Christianity is most tolerant of those lost in sin. The false image of Christianity is that we're holier than thou. We're pointing at other people saying, you're not as good as we are. The reality is that Christians were saved from sin by being forgiven, not by being superior. We didn't come to a place of salvation because we're better than anybody. So Christians then are taught to forgive even as they were forgiven. I always think of that when in Ephesians 4:32. He's saying, now be kind one to another. Be tenderhearted and forgiving one another. But I don't want to forgive. They hurt my feelings. They did something against me. And then he says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh yeah, that's right. I was forgiven. I ought to forgive. So Christians see sinners as prospective Christians. Maybe they're sinners who are unhappy in their sin. Sin makes people unhappy. You can be happy in it for a little bit, and then it just tears you down. And sin has its consequences. This is why God said, don't do it. In love, he warned us. So Christians see sinners as people on the wrong road, hurting themselves and their family, and hoping they're tired enough of it they'd like to change, maybe they're prospective Christians. Now you and I, as Baptists, are called fundamental Baptists. Do not allow the charge of being a fundamentalist that demands violence. If you're a fundamentalist, then you're going to blow up an abortion clinic or something. That's not what fundamentalism means. It was the Bible believer that began to be the fundamentalist. They don't have any right to redefine fundamentalism. Every version of religious thought has fundamental and unprovable aspects. The believer, the adherent to whatever religion, believes that those fundamental things are superior beliefs to others. That's why he holds to that belief. So we do believe that the fundamentals of the faith should be believed by all, that they are right, and they are superior to other belief. We believe that, or else we would change our opinion. And then I would say this. I think a great argument can be made that Christianity is the path to a superior culture. We have seen this in the American culture, where not everybody was a Christian, but by general consent, in the beginning, they accepted Christian values. They accepted the importance of human life, the morality of one man, one woman marriage. Go back in history, the most open and tolerant religious atmosphere was found in the Greco-Roman world at the time that Christianity was entering it from Palestine. It was very open. You could believe anything you wanted. You could have whatever gods and deities hanging on your wall or on your shelf. But look at the history. Such openness did not keep the culture from being brutal. The influence of the culture. Their religions allowed a great distance between the rich and the poor, and the poor were despised. Women were generally treated as little more than slaves, and slaves were nothing but property. And that religious system was happy with that. See. Christianity is intolerant of other religion. That is, in the sense that we're not going to say those other religions are true. Christianity has an intolerance of other views, and it has an exclusive concept of salvation by Christ alone. But it taught the value of human life because every person would live somewhere for eternity. When they die, they go someplace for eternity. You know what the Christian society did? It mixed men and women and slaves and masters together in church. And each prayed for the personal requests of the other. Imagine sitting down with your slave, your property, and asking him what his prayer requests are. You have to think of him as a person. You have to think of him as a soul before God. They expressed compassion because they had received compassion in salvation. Historically, during the terrible city plagues of the first and second centuries, Christians cared for all the sick and the dying in the city, often at the cost of their own lives. They caught the plague and died, but they were caring for others. So we Christians believe strongly that our beliefs are right and that others are wrong. So the question needs to be asked, how can such exclusivist thought lead to such sweet and open behavior? And here's the answer. It is this: at the heart of Christianity is not us, but it is the perfect Jesus Christ. That's the center of what we believe. He died for our sins. His love gives us the greatest possible example and gives us the greatest possible resource for sacrificial service. It helps us with our generosity, our peacemaking. Historically, wrongs have been done in the name of Christianity, but they were done not by dedicated Christians. They were done by those who had departed from the Bible. They had departed from the church's early doctrines. They had departed from the church's early practices. So, get back to the basic answer. If you're sincere, God will accept it. No. A person can be sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. If you think hard enough about it, you'll remember sometime when you put your faith in something and it failed you. You picked up the wrong medicine. My wife's always complaining about herself that there's hair shampoo and then there's conditioner. And she wants one, but she picks up the other bottle and brings it home. I just didn't check closely enough, you know. Sincerely, after one thing, finding something else. We just bought a birthday gift for a grandson and got it home ready to send it out, and it was a men's medium size. What? We were looking for the style of it and missed the size. You can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Wait, that's not right. There's a path that seems to be the great path. I can get ahead if I do that. And six steps into it, I fall in a pit and it kills me. Didn't put me ahead at all. A relatively common gun tragedy is when someone is killed and the person pulling the trigger says, I didn't know it was loaded. When I was in the dorm at Bob Jones University, a guy came in and one of the roommates had his shirt off. He was actually had been ironing the shirt, and the guy picked up the iron, which he assumed was cold, and threatened to put it on his chest. And he said, no, don't. And he thought he was playing along. And he pressed it against his chest, but it was still very hot. Had that very odd red iron look with little holes where the steam comes up. And he was so sorry. I didn't know it was hot. You may be 100% sure in the fact that you did not want to harm the other person. You may sincerely believe something that was just not true. Sincerity alone is not enough. If the object of your belief is not true, all the sincerity of the world will not bring back the person who was shot with the gun. Cannot lift the burn off the man's chest. The Apostle Paul teaches that simply practicing religion does not excuse anyone, but rather it may compound a person's guilt. He was examining the pagans' religion. Paul revealed that it distorted the truth. Romans 1:25, he says, their pagan thinking changed the truth of God into a lie. There's a religion that denies the truth that God has given and has perverted it, and the religion itself then is a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more or rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Do you understand then that this lie is idolatry? You're worshiping something that God made instead of worshiping the Maker. Such religion is idolatry, and God hates idolatry. In the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the sea. Thou shalt not, this is not, by the way, a commandment against any making any kind of statue or drawing any kind of picture. This is making a statue or drawing a picture for worship's sake. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. That's the qualification. For I, Jehovah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. As long as that's continued, I visit judgment on them, he says. So the fact is this, there is no advantage in worshiping the wrong God. Sincerity doesn't enter into it. There is no advantage in worshiping the wrong God, no matter how sincere. No matter how much you might want to enter a theme park, if you don't have enough money for the ticket, you don't get in. Be as sincere as you like. If you believe the wrong thing, no matter how sincerely, you fall short of what God requires. And it is God that sets the standard. he will accept only those who come to him through the channel that he has established. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I'll close with Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Think of that universal statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one. We need to be narrow-minded enough to be narrow as the number one. One way, one person, one God. One gospel. So, I'm sorry, people who are truly sincere in their religion will be accepted by God. You might as well say people who are absolutely sincere that the red light means go will always be safe as they drive their car. Sincerity won't make any difference. The reality is it doesn't work. Comments or questions?